Hello and welcome back to, you guessed it, another English episode of Parlando with me, Bernhard Hanski, and another exciting guest. And today's guest is indeed exciting, since she belongs to the best mezzo-sopranos of her generation. The world stages are hers. Audiences know her from New York to Tokyo, cheering her at festivals from Verona to Bayreuth. Indeed, Verona and Bayreuth. I guess there are not many singers appearing in both festivals, since their program is quite different. But she is successfully building a bridge between those two repertoires thanks to her brilliant vocal technique, which allows her to sing as well a fiery Amneris or Eboli, as well as the mysterious Kundry, Prangene and Fricka. I'm super happy to talk to her today, and I would like to welcome the fantastic Russian mezzo-soprano Yekaterina Gubanova. Great to have you here, Yekaterina. Welcome.
Thank you for inviting me, Bernhard. I'm happy to be here.
I bet you don't know we've already shared the stage once together.
Really?
Do you?
No, I don't remember where.
I mean, it's a difficult task, to be honest. I mean, how can you remember? It was Don Carlo in Dresden back in 2016. You've been a fantastic Eboli while I was only singing one of the Deputati.
Yes. Well, yes, of course, that would be difficult to remember. But I surely remember the production.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I can say we've sung together.
Yeah, we have sung together.
Hopefully it was not the last time, and I hope the next time will be a bit more spectacular for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We aren't at a random place now. We are right now in the sacred halls of the Bayreuth Festival, a place where you debuted 4 years ago and where you are a regular guest since your first creation of one of the best Tannhäuser Venus I've ever seen and heard. Now you are back again for another run of that very role, as well as your house debut singing Kundry in the new Parsifal production. What is that feeling, singing and being here in Bayreuth?
Well, it's certainly very, very, very special. I don't know if it's special for everyone. I imagine it's special for everyone. It's certainly special for me because I'm a huge fan of Wagner music, of the how, of this, of the whole system, of the approach, of this perfectionism and. Yeah, so the place that he created for his music to be played is definitely sacred for me. So whichever role I'm singing here or just coming to rehearse, it's always, always, always very special. And of course, being in this repertoire for so many years, here is like a big assembly of friends. It's every production has at least 5 people I know or 6 or probably I know everyone. So it's very, very nice to be here in all senses.
Is it something you've waited for to come here?
Always, always. It's it's really, this is my favorite place to work, I must say, because it has, I mean, when I close the door of the apartment that I'm renting, I'm almost starting a countdown of when I'm coming back, because it's just, it has everything. It has the highest quality of work. And nature, and quiet, and usually you don't get that because if you had the highest quality of work, you're usually in the center of the megapolis, and that's that for me is no fun. I mean, it used to be fun when I was younger, but now I just want my peace. So yes, it's just beautiful here. It's beautiful, and the acoustics of the theater is absolutely amazing. Yeah. Is the best ever, and. Yeah, it's just a joy, pure joy.
Do you feel a difference singing a role like Kundry here and, for example, let's say in Vienna, where you did it for the very first time? I mean, do the ghosts of the past influence you here?
Well, there are a lot of ghosts from the past also in Vienna.
It's true,
for sure.
It's true, it's true.
But, well, since I haven't done it yet with the audience, I can't say what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
But It happened just so quickly because I just debuted the role in Vienna, and almost like two weeks after came the call about Bayreuth. I didn't even dare to start. I started to dream about this. I remember I told my husband, I said, now that my ultimate dream of my entire career would be to sing Kundry in Bayreuth. And in 2 weeks, this was incredible. So it's all like in a haze, the whole period, but in a happy haze, you know. It's like this wonderful tremble inside that it's, I'm just about to open my mouth and sing these notes, these words here is more than special. I don't know, it's hard to describe. It's amazing.
So what do we learn from that? Just name your wishes, speak them out loudly.
Yeah, and be careful what you wish for also. I mean, thank God I can say I'm totally ready for that. And I've been waiting with Kundry. I had offers before, very exciting offers, and I said no to that. Now I understand how wise it was of me to do that, because it was 10 years ago when I said no to that, but now I feel like all these Wagner operas that I have done, all this experience, everything that I heard and I saw, it all climbs up to her at the top of that, and I have something to give from what I learned. So that's very, very important.
The roles of Richard Wagner, as you already said, take big position in your repertoire. I mean, Kundry now, Brangäne, Fricka, even Ortrud and Venus all over the world. Being a Russian singer, I guess it's not what you dreamed about when you once started singing. Am I right or not?
Well, you know, I didn't... from the very start of my studies in Russia, I did not feel... in my place there, because my type of mezzo-soprano is not made for Russian music. It's not. There are very few operas that I can do. Usually Russian mezzo is a darker sound with a much lower tessitura, so it's there is not much of Russian repertoire that I could ever do.
Interesting.
And even for now, yes. When I went to Sibelius Academy in Helsinki, I did a very good round of auditions, and they were surprised. They said, "What are you doing here?" And I told them something that later was interpreted by the press in a funny way, but this is not what I meant. I said, "I don't want to be a Russian singer." This is not. I did not mean that I'm not Russian, or I only meant repertoire. I meant that usually Russian singers have a very narrow field. You know, maximum they go is Italian, but usually if you meet a Russian in the theater, it means that there is a Russian production going on, and they have invited many Russian singers.
Yeah.
So in this sense, I didn't want to be Russian, because there is a lot. There's a lot of music written for the Zwischenfach that I have. And I was right. I had always this feeling that I'll have another repertoire. And voila, so it's kind of... I think this repertoire chose me, because it just comes so naturally to me from the very beginning. So.
And yeah. Wagner felt good for you from the beginning on, yeah?
Well... I was so young when I started with Tristan that I was stupid enough not to be scared. I just dared because I thought, okay, then that's it, you know.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Yeah, yeah, one does not realize all the depth. Also, technically, of course, it used to be very, 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 very difficult then. But now, of course, everything.
And also for the language, I can imagine. I mean, did you speak German before or did you have an approach to the language?
Not at all. The thing is that my mom is an English teacher, mm-hmm. and she gave me from the very beginning the right approach to languages. Not to be scared, listen, pronounce, speak, just go for it.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I listened a lot of Christa Ludwig, mm-hmm. and I took the pronunciation from her. I had a very good coach in London when I was in the Young Artist Program, so she helped me to get the basis of German, of how to make it sound right. You know, one thing is you understand and speak it, and the other thing is you sing it, is in any language. So, yeah, yeah. And then I'm just a good parrot. I've started then, of course.
It's helpful,
Then I've started to sing Tristan, and I've been so lucky to share the stage with most amazing ever, Isoldes, Tristans, Marques. I mean,
you got them all.
The whole bouquet of these amazing people, and I tried to learn everything I could.
Yeah.
Starting from the gesture and pronunciation, phrasing, voice, air, anything I could, I just took from them.
Einsam wachend in der Nacht, the so-called Brangäneruf. It's one of my most favorite moments in the whole opera. How is it for you?
Yes, it's one of the, I mean, not only the whole opera, it's one of the most beautiful six pages of music ever written, if one must think, you know, it's really, 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 really incredible. It's really, really, really difficult to sing for that. For me, the more music is beautiful, the more difficult, the more precious it is for me, and the more I'm killing myself for every split hair that I dislike of what I've done. So it goes always, and this particular difficulty of this bit is that you're always somewhere else on stage, and you have to get used to dust, to cold, to not seeing the maestro, to not hearing the orchestra properly, or hearing them with the big delay. Or there are so many, or even singing it with the microphone sometimes.
Yeah,
it's really
the worst,
that.
Huh?
The biggest challenge, however, that I had was in Berlin, when I had to be on stage just before and then run to the orchestra pit and do it from the orchestra pit. So I was...
Yeah, of course.
And that
for that line.
For these long noses, that was the most. So, voila.
And then it goes up and up. And
exactly. So it's no... only now it started, it has, I must say, really only this year it started to get fun. To
really?
Say, yeah,
finally.
Now I'm swimming in it, but all that before, and who knows what's going to happen after. Maybe it's going to get difficult again.
But after how many productions it got fine?
Oh, many, yeah. Many years. Yes, it's like... God, 17 years I'm doing this wrong. It's crazy.
So all mezzo-sopranos out there, after 17 years, it will be fun. Good to know. Keep fighting. You also did it in Bayreuth last year in a new production. Did you also sing it from above the audience, like Christa Meyer, the production before?
Yes, exactly. It's from, it's called Waldvogelklappe.
Aha, yeah.
So it's where...
Where the lights are.
Yeah, where the lights are, and these were really hot days, the lighting people are there, and they liberated this little space. You can barely stand there, and they had to turn off the air conditioning because it was blowing my voice away. And it was really, it's special, but it was so much fun to go to get there, because you get to see the entire construction under the roof, all the wood, and
which is hidden for all of us.
I know. So I've seen that these bits also in Vienna, up there. Also, I sang the Met, also from the lighting booth, also above the stage, and I had to pass through all these amazing stagehands places we don't normally see.
Exciting. Katja, we almost lost you and your glorious voice to the concert stage as a pianist or being a choir conductor. Tell us about your musical education and the way.
Well, I certainly started as a pianist. I had a wonderful, wonderful teacher. She was teaching in the college of the music college of the Moscow Conservatoire. So it's like was the step before the conservatoire. And I started with her when I was, if I'm not mistaken, 5 and a half, really, really early. And I had a wonderful, wonderful, let's say, I was born with good technique and with nice, sizable hands and stuff like that. But unfortunately, all my stage fright, which I have plenty of, goes into my hands. So when there was more than one person in the room, that was it. I lost 80% of everything.
Wow.
I forgot the text, my hands were going crazy. So that was pretty much impossible to make any kind of career out of that. Fortunately, I must say, because I'm so social, I love people, I love talking, and being pianist is a very lonely work. You're always there with the piano, and I'm happy I have this buzzer, because I can still play piano, and
it's quite useful.
It's still my friend. Exactly. I save a lot of money on coaching, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands.
Of course,
So when we realized I can't do anything with the piano, we had to choose something, because I was so much into music. I was thinking maybe history, but still music was a big part, big part of my life, and. We decided to choose a faculty that would still include good musical education and piano, but have something fun to do. And I always loved singing in the choir. So there we go. I chose choir conducting, and that was also fantastic because it gives you a very broad spectrum of education, apart from playing, also harmony, theory, reading full score, opera, lots of things. It's one of the most inclusive, but you're still not a dry theory person like people who study only theory. So it was brilliant.
And it happened for a reason, obviously.
Everything happens for a reason.
I think so too.
And I was singing in the second altos, the lowest voices, and first 3 years, no solos, nothing. My voice had a lot of sand in it. It was very so it was very precise, very clean, but not a solo voice at all. And then suddenly, when I was in my fourth year, something happened. You know, it was like suddenly I woke up and I had a tail growing or something like this. It was super weird, really weird. Some hormonal changes, I imagine. So I got the voice pretty much in one day, the way I have it now, only it had a very short range. And in the shower, I was singing in the shower, and suddenly I thought, oh, that reminds me of opera. Weird. Should I go see a teacher? And I went to see a teacher, and this is how I just do.
And now we are here.
Yeah, and now we're here in Bayreuth.
Look how it happened. Amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. Yeah.
And then the opera entered into your world and you agreed and said, I will do it. I will conquer the world.
Yes, in the beginning I was quite, ambitious. I was very ambitious. I thought, you know, if it's going to be, I'm going to be at least second Dolorosa Zsigmond Borodina or something like this. Then when I started to go around hearing voices, I thought, no, probably not, but I will try to make something mine. When I got more conscious about, I mean, you can understand that it was difficult to digest that suddenly I'm a singer. In a chorus among 80 people, you have one shoulder on your right, one shoulder on your left, you have your music score, and then suddenly you have to come out all alone. So it really screwed up with my brain a lot. Once I got used to it a little bit, I've started to dream that I wanted to be to be greatly respected in a narrow circle of really good professionals, and to have my repertoire in which I would be considered best, and not like everything. So pretty much I can say for now that I have achieved that, and I'm really pleased. Of course, one needs to always work to stay on top. You know, so it's pressure, but I like really where I am at the moment.
And this is so important also to say, I'm grateful for what I have and I know what I achieved. Huh? I want to be better than her and her. And
no, I want to be better than me.
Yeah.
That's always, Brava. You know, it's that I guess this part of my character, this is what made me. What I am and what makes me progress is that I am never pleased with what I'm doing.
Never.
Never. I can't say there will be always in every performance, there will be several places that I'm not happy with. I would always mark them. I go and then I work on them.
Yeah.
So, and then there are, you know, the opera performance is so complicated that it could be a moment where but I don't like where I turned, or I didn't like how I walked, or I needed to breathe in a different way or sing it in another direction. I mean, I will have dozens of notes every time for myself. So, yeah, in that sense, I'm never happy.
So you always mentioned Christa Ludwig. Do you have other role models or recordings you love to hear? Is it something for you?
Well, I apart from Christa Ludwig is this kind of, if I can say, she was German Irina Archipova.
Mm-hmm, of course.
The absolute pinnacle of elegance,
yeah.
whichever she did, of good taste for me.
Yeah.
So
for most of us.
I just totally adore her for that. Whatever she sang, it was always so graceful. And that's very admirable. Then, of course, Walt Trautmeier, because we did so many Tristans and Rings together. She has this magic, which is, of course, totally unachievable. I know.
I agree.
But I adore her for and also for her dedication that I have seen firsthand. How one stays, you know, like she's on stage, exploding with this youth and energy, no matter how old she was and she or tired or many shows, many rehearsals. I know what it cost her. I know what she did. Only a part. I'm sure she did even more. But I saw her every day in the gym eating chicken breast with two leaves of salad, you know, to stay in the shape. And then that she's... It's really this incredible dedication.
Yeah.
And she knows everything. She has read everything about the character, everything around it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
This is something to strive for, but not... I can't say that I'm ready to sacrifice that much of my life because I like my other life too. And I once worked with a conductor who worked a lot with Christa Ludwig. He just said that like many others do that somehow I reminded him of her. We met at the breakfast in the hotel where we both stayed. We were doing Mahler too. And it was the day of the concert, and he asked me, "So, what are you going to do?" It was my first time in Lisbon, I think it was Lisbon. And I said, "What do you mean? Nothing. It's the day of the concert. I'm going to stay in and I'm going to concentrate." And then he told me that Christa Ludwig once told him that she forgot to live. And this really, this conversation happened, 2005 or 6, long time ago, but it's still in my mind. And I don't believe in reincarnation. I think we live only once. I think I will live only once. And this is what I have at the moment, and I won't get at it anything else. So I'm trying to find this balance between my passion for singing and also a normal life of a person.
When you now told the story about Walt Trautmeier and what she's doing and eating, and of course you are impressed to hear it, but at the same time I feel a bit sad to hear that, because I think, is it worth it to do it your whole life like this, 100% only doing that and forgetting to have a life and to have hobbies? And
when Christa Ludwig said I forgot to live, probably she was doubting, I think. But we can still ask Waltraud how she feels about that. I don't know.
No, but it's interesting. Yeah, of course, we all know how demanding this job is. But I think also our job is living because we have all the good influences from our private life. And if we stop them, how can we be great on stage, no?
But then, you know, it's so difficult. It's easier for me to speak in this position because I have found my other life.
Yeah.
Not everybody, particularly with the way of life that singers have, with all the traveling, not everyone finds the right person, manages to create a family, or find the right person and then could not keep it. It's really, 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 really tough. And I met my husband at the point when I said to myself, enough. I have good friends, my mom is well, and I have wonderful job. That's it, I'm not going to try anymore.
Yeah.
This is where I met him. It was already many years ago, and we're fine. But not everyone is that lucky. Is that lucky. And I imagine it could have happened to me also. If I wouldn't find the right person, I would just dedicate 100% to work. But but then, in the end, when you can't sing anymore and you can't, maybe you did not become a teacher or something like that, what do you do then?
Right, and we all know, I mean, careers, there is an end. And this end can be really brutal.
Yes, also can be to the abrupt, most can be abrupt and unexpected. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. So it's particularly now with all these politics and Me Too and everything. And the pandemic taught a lot to us that we know exactly where we are, how unimportant we are, you know?
Of course.
So. If one is lucky enough to have another life, to have family life, it's wonderful to have it.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
That's the word. So you studied singing at the Tchaikovsky Moscow State Conservatory and the Sibelius Academy in Helsinki, as you already mentioned. Why Helsinki?
Well, because my stepfather was a Finn. So that was not an entirely foreign country for me. We were going every summer with the family there.
And you know the language?
No, I didn't speak it then because at home we spoke with some kind of Russian, English, Finnish, whatever mixture it was, but it was certainly not a good language. But I was young enough. I picked it up very quickly.
Yeah.
But I tried there. I wanted to try also, I remember, Juilliard, Boston, but the money?
Yeah.
Sorry, it was like $100,000 for just 1 year. It was totally impossible. Yeah. Impossible. In Helsinki, it was free. I only had to support the dormitory and my and the food. So I tried to go there.
Yeah.
And it worked.
It worked. And the next station already was the Royal Opera House Covent Garden in London, where you've entered the Young Artist Program. How do you remember the time there? And how did it help you growing as an artist?
Well, I think it was the most important time for me as an artist, as a person also, because to every young singer, I would advise to get into the best possible young artist program, because you get to see the life of the great opera house from inside. You get to see many rehearsals. You get to see amazing stars at work. You know, I saw Domingo Gheorghiu and Chvorostovsky in Pagliacci. You know, it was like incredible. I thought I was dreaming. Yeah. It was so good. Yeah, and many others, and it's invaluable. You get master classes, you get language coaching, you get acting classes, and you get to cover the main roles and to sing the small roles. So it's everything you need to know about the process was there.
What have been your first roles on stage?
My very debut was Flora in Traviata, mm-hmm. 2003, the first, yes, and with Joseph Kalea, by the way.
Wow, yeah.
Yes, and then I did Dritte Dame,
uh-huh.
I did Suzuki, I did Emilie, no, I did Alice in Lucia di Lammermoor.
Ah, yeah, so the classical
Yeah. The biggest of that was Suzuki, but unfortunately they gave me two performances. I was so happy and I got so sick.
Yeah.
I was singing like this and crying in the middle of it. It was really, really terrible. Yes, I sang it, but that was... But that was a great time on that program. Last years also, being a student, the parties and stuff for the friends, you know, it was great.
And then it went quite quick.
Yes, from then it went quite quickly. Yes, yes. I've been lucky, or I have the tendency, now I know, because too many people are telling me, I have the tendency to underestimate myself. So probably I've been lucky, but also probably I was good enough to have this nice progress.
Obviously, you are good enough. And I can imagine you worked quite hard for that.
Yes.
It was not only a gift by heaven.
Always like crazy. Yeah.
What is impressive to see is the fact that you're not only singing successfully the Wagnerfach, but also being successful in the Italian repertoire. Adalgisa, Amneris, Eboli are always a part of your repertoire, whatever you sing, for example, here. What is the difference singing these two, let's say, repertoires, the Wagnerfach and the Verdi Bel Canto Fach? Is there a difference for you?
Yes, there is a lot of difference. And they kind of don't help each other, and they help each other in some ways. It's first of all, there's a lot of space for interpretation in Italian music. There's much less space in Wagner, because he indicates everything, mm-hmm. and everything needs to be so precise. In one way, it's easier to do. You just need to really dig in and memorize and just do as written. Instead, with Italian music, you need to fly on top of it, and it's hard. To when you've been so disciplined, like now, for example, I'm refreshing Eboli for the Staatsoper because this is my next thing after Bayreuth. And it's so hard to exit the space of total discipline and enter the space of freedom and another type. The breath is different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so in these terms, it's hard to juggle between the two. But... on the other way, when I came, for example, to my Kundry debut, I came straight after doing Adalgisa, and it was amazing. It was so good for the voice because the voice was in such a good shape for after coloraturas, all these good vowels and not trying to over-scream the orchestra. So, yeah, it's a blessing and a curse doing the two. It would have been so much easier to just do one.
Of course.
But I'm happy that I have the both, and I'm struggling to keep it going
the way
it is. Yeah.
But for example, does an Ortrud cost you more, or a Kundry cost you more than an Eboli? Like physically, vocally, everything together? Is there a difference?
Now I have entered the phase, I imagine now at this age, I'm in my prime. So nothing really tires me. Even Kundry does not get me tired. But it depends on the production.
I see.
It depends on how involved you are. The most tiring production ever is Tannhäuser. This production in Bayreuth, because you are just always on the move.
Yeah.
You give 150% of energy, and you have no interval because you're doing a show at the lake, then you jump into second act where you're immediately
amazing,
zoomed up on the big screen and through the entire act. It's really, so that one is really tiring.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Kundry is fantastic. You get to warm up in first act, then you get a little more warm up in the second act, then they get this nice smooth legato thing, and then just and it's done.
and then
that's it. I'll see now when I do Eboli what's more tiring.
Yeah.
But it's up to a singer to make it less tiring, to use more technique, to breathe better, to not to act sacrificing your sanity and stuff.
If it's tiring, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. I imagine. Yeah. There's this balance. That's why Venus is so tiring here, because it's based on acting so much.
Physically, of course.
And you have to dance and jump and run and give... I mean, if you give 100% of energy on stage, the audience gets, I believe, like 70, not more.
Yeah.
So you have to give over 100 in order for the audience to get it. So that's, oh my God.
But that's why they love you here, because you're giving 150%.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
I believe in giving all you have, you know.
Yeah. We know the opera world loves the limitation in Fach. I mean, did managers, agents ever try to push you in a certain one to say, stop that Wagner, focus on Verdi, or the opposite?
I wouldn't say that was about the repertoire, but into certain roles, yes, they tried to push me. My ex-management, mm-hmm. for that matter. But I always said no. I never gave in to that, even that it got me a little bit into trouble once. But I never agreed to the roles that I thought were not good for me.
So you know best what's good for you.
Yeah.
You don't need advice.
Yes, I have a feeling, you know. Yeah. I have this intuition that yeah, I should be doing what I'm doing.
You started, I mean, for me as a German, you started in quite a heavy Fach. First Brangäne in Paris already happened back in 2005. I think the only Mozart you ever did, from what I know, was the Third Lady.
The Dame, yeah. A lot of it.
In London and in Salzburg, from what I know. And it happened in the same year. And I guess it was a farewell to Mozart, wasn't it?
Yes, I imagine. I don't know. No, nobody ever thought of me as Dorabella or Cherubino. Yeah. Also, I was quite heavy as a now there's all this tendency you can hire whatever. Uh-huh, but then you had to be really had to be slim and young looking and stuff. I started quite heavy. I'm lighter now, but now I'm too old. But also it's the thing about the system that once you are into heavier roles, you get only heavier roles. One should not hurry to get into even more heavy roles, you know, otherwise, because then you lose the lighter stuff.
But it all went well. So you never faced vocal problems, or when you find out like, I'm a bit into heavy repertoire, I have to be careful.
I don't think it's about the repertoire. It just happens that you always, I can only speak for myself, of course. I always have to update my technique. It's not to the roles, it's to the age and to the process that is happening in my body. Yeah. That the aboli that I'm doing now, it's not going to be with the same technique that I did 3 years ago, for example. Definitely not. And this is difficult because it's the same role, the same notes, you have habits and things. So every year I overwork my technique in a different way. And this is, I guess, what keeps me from trouble. Because there was one particular time when I started to have a wobble in certain notes, not everywhere. And one friend was kind enough to tell me, because when you get to a certain stage of career, people don't tell you anymore.
They want to please you.
And I got pretty scared. Because for me, the beauty of the tone is above all. You know, you can have whatever other problems, but the voice needs to be in place. And I started to work like crazy every day, just me and piano. You know, since I don't have a teacher, a singing teacher, I always work on my own. And I guess it's harder in some ways because nobody is chewing the food and putting it into my mouth. I have to arrive to every decision, every conclusion on my own, just by recording myself or just
That's what
feeling.
I wanted to ask, You listen to your recordings.
And it's painful to listen to own recordings. Oh my God.
It is, but it's the best school because the only one you can trust is yourself and how you want to sound.
Yes. I'll tell you a funny story about me hating my recordings. I was just in some hotel researching on the Tsar's Bride. I was about to do Lubash at the time. And I found an MP3 recording in the internet of someone singing the aria. And I was listening. I was thinking, oh my God, this is pretty good. This is very good. Who is that? I don't know, because I usually keep an eye on the mezzos, on up-and-coming mezzos. So bloody hell, it's so good. Then, in the next 2 seconds, I recognized myself, and it became crap.
So there we have
it. The next, voila. Yes, yeah. So it's unbelievable that our perception of ourselves is so, it depends so much on the, there's so many things in our heads.
It's a good proof how it works.
Oh my God, I'll never forget that. Terrible. I felt stupid. I felt insane. I rewinded it and started from the beginning. No, it was not good anymore.
Of course not. Yeah, this is how we work, huh?
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, stupid. Yeah.
But good for you that you had those 2 or 3 minutes where you didn't find
exactly.
out.
Exactly. So
to have
now,
a clear mind to just listen and say, what a good singer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So now when I hear my recording, I think, oh, shit, it's crap, it's crap. But then I thought, no, remember 2011 when you heard this Lubavitch aria? Yeah. That was good.
What a good school.
So you might not be right.
Happy accident.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Regie Theater.
Ooh.
I mean, you sing in Europe, so you are aware of it. While, for example, at the Mariinsky, they have the most beautiful classical Lohengrin, for example, in Berlin, you are confronted with a prosaic staging of Calixto Pietro. How do you deal with this kind of staging, and what do you personally prefer to see, to have on stage?
I prefer to understand everything that I'm doing. And it doesn't matter if it's classical, traditional regie or if it's crazy modern production. So if I understand, if I found this understanding with the director, then it's brilliant. And I don't know, I honestly, even if it's a bad thing to say, I don't always even care how the audience sees the production, how boring it is for them, because, you know, it's my work. I do so many productions all the time. For me, it's important that I'm comfortable inside it.
That you can sell it.
Yes, that I can feel it, that I'm swimming in it, and I enjoy myself, and I feel that the character is justified. So for that reason, it doesn't matter what kind of production. I can't tell you what's my... I loved being in that Lohengrin.
Mm-hmm.
It was a feast.
Yeah.
Everyone, but it's a great character.
Yeah, of course.
This character...
I mean, you have one act just waiting, but then the second act is yours.
Yes. No, I've been blessed with all these wonderful characters to do. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever faced difficulties because you didn't agree with a certain staging and production that you said, oh, stop, here's the point of no return? Or are you able to fix it always for yourself?
I think so far I've been always able to fix it either for myself or between me and the director, because I believe in a kind approach. You know, I think you can, with kindness and understanding and grace, you can find mutual language with any person. Is it the director or a conductor or a colleague? So far, I've been lucky to always find some kind of consensus.
So not only a great singer, but also a great person. Amazing. Yeah, we talked about her. In Bayreuth, you are singing Venus in the what is now one of the festival's most successful production, I guess, the Tannhäuser by Tobias Kratzer. For me, a proof that clever modern stagings do exist, because this Venus is completely different from what an audience has seen before. How do you deal with this one? I mean, it's a maniac, a killer, a freak. Tell us about the journey with this certain Venus.
She is the thing for Tobias, the way we thought the character, is that she is politically determined. So and she does not realize what she is sacrificing on the way. You know, she realizes only at the end.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But one can see people like that around.
She cannot say what's good, what's bad.
She just sees the goal in front of her and she goes for it, stepping over bodies, you know, quite literally.
Yeah.
But she wants, she thinks that she wants a good thing.
Yeah.
She's totally, when I'm her, I can totally understand, you know, it's really, she's like this one line that connects everything
in this production.
And it works. It's pretty genius, this one.
Totally. I mean, the opera should be renamed in Venus. It's not Tannhäuser anymore. it's also the first time I've heard an audience laughing in a Wagner opera. I mean,
yes.
For example, when you're singing...
Isn't it precious?
Yeah. When you're singing one of the Edelknaben in Act 2, which usually is not Venus' job, because you kidnapped the original one, I cried by laughing. I mean, do you think it's okay to laugh in a Wagner opera?
Yes, of course. Laughter is one of the greatest emotions, if it's intended. Yeah. If it's not intended, then it's not good. But this one is certainly intentional. I must tell you, when I got the contract for this, there was also this punkt when they said that you also need to learn the Edelknaben. And I was like, what? What is that? I had no idea about the production. And of course, I didn't even need to learn it because I have to sing it in the wrong way anyway.
And so this makes it so hilarious.
Yeah. That's a funny bit. But the other one that I have to yawn during the Wolfram aria, that one is always... I apologize to Marcos every time after that because it feels so awful to do that.
But it's so great and it fits so well the character.
Yes.
I mean, one really loved this Venus because she is so human.
Yeah. She's human. She's loose, you know?
Yeah.
It's like... It's a great joy. Isn't it wonderful that when you think about this job that we have, that of course we have many sacrifices and lots of things. But when you get to do something like this,
it's a gift.
Oh, yes. Because in life you can't do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a gift for you and also for the audience.
Yeah.
Because you're coming out of the Bayreuth Festival House and you are... Wow, you are just pleased by what you have seen and heard.
Yes, and this, I think this is the goal of all art, to when the person is leaving the art space, is living with something inside, you know?
Yeah.
That's the highest purpose we can achieve.
Of course.
So when it happens, it's great.
And sometimes, thanks God, it happens.
Yeah.
And even though you're mostly singing dramatic roles, you seem to enjoy this crazy and funny Venus. I mean, you're stealing the whole show being a great comedian. Is it something you would love to do more?
Especially for the fact that I'm doing all these serious ladies, it's such fun to just throw it away and then be this punk, you know?
Obviously you enjoy it so much.
Yes, I enjoy it so much that I don't feel like I enjoyed it so much in 19 that I broke my leg on stage.
You had to miss the first year, right?
Yeah. So and also here this time at the general, I got so carried away at the at the lake show. I disturbed my knee again.
No.
Yeah, because I forget this. I enter the character so much. Yeah. I'm not me anymore because you have to do all these outrageous stuff.
Yeah.
If anything of me remains, I wouldn't do it. You know.
I see.
So it's whenever people tell, oh, how can you do this? How can you do that? It's not me. It's her.
Yeah.
She does whatever she pleases. Yeah.
Even destroying her knee.
Yeah, it's terrible.
No, but it's so great to see you as a comedian because we are the audience are not used to see you in this kind of funny repertoire.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like I really want to see more of that. Like you in a funny, crazy Barry Kosky operetta.
Yeah, something like that. But in life, in my normal life, it's one of the things that I enjoy most is to make people smile.
Yeah.
Make people happy, make people smile. It's because we live, life is tough.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh.
Everywhere, work, outside of work, it's tough and it's not getting any better. just to make people smile, and it's a wonderful, wonderful task.
It's a great gift also from you, yeah. So, we already spoke about your third main repertoire, which is, surprise, surprise, the Russian one. But you already said there is not much for you to conquer. But there are some, like one of your earliest successes were the Olga at the Salzburg Festival with Daniel Barenboim. You were on the radar.
Yes.
And also in your repertoire, we can find such roles as the Maid of Orleans, Polina, Marina, Lyubasha. How do you feel singing in your native language in the music of your country?
It's very disturbing because I'm not used to the language going immediately with no preparation right to the bottom of my heart.
Uh-huh.
It kicks me where it's the most vulnerable, and it gets difficult in all senses. It gets difficult to hold the technique, to act, everything just gets to, because it's not like when I'm studying a German role,
mm-hmm.
It takes a long time. I bring it to myself. I stuff it inside my heart, and then it starts brewing there. Russian comes there with no preparation. It's not knocking at the door. It just slam and it's there, and it's so difficult.
Because it's part of your DNA.
Yeah. Just so difficult. The Maid of Orleans.
Like emotionally, or in which sense?
Emotionally, absolutely emotionally. I remember doing some Rachmaninoff songs back in my student years in London also, where I did all that old non-Russian repertoire. I had to stop a couple of times because I was crying. I'm not used to.
Yeah.
And plus, Russian language is not... If you are a native Russian speaker, it's the position of the language is not the best for singing. I imagine it's a little bit too backwards.
Yeah.
And that also is difficult because I do speak Russian and it all suddenly goes backwards. So, Russian is challenging for me.
Yeah.
I think Russian is the most challenging language for me to sing in.
So you erased it from your future repertoire, or will there still... things coming?
There is nothing planned for that, unfortunately. or fortunately, I don't know, because everything happens for a reason, I would love to put my foot a little bit into recital repertoire, mm-hmm. maybe because I haven't done any recitals at all. And there are many songs that I could sing also, and also Songs and Dance of Death by Mussorgsky.
Yeah.
This is something that's really for my voice, that I've done it a lot with orchestra, but... It would be nice to create a program of Tchaikovsky, Rachmaninoff, and Mussorgsky. And one day I will do that.
Since you entered the stage, you have met all the great conductors of our time, literally. Who have influenced you the most and why? Who are your mentors?
Well, easy. In Italian music is Muti, in German music is Barenboim. And also, of course, I learned a lot from Gergiev.
Yeah.
So that's these three are the biggest ones. I guess of all three, the biggest one is Barenboim.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Is that special for you?
Yes.
What makes it so special for us who don't know to work with him?
Well, his approach to his musicality, his... Yeah, the way he worked also with me from when I was still very, very young, how kind he was and how patient he was and how willing he was to give what he has. It was really, I mean, it was not just someone, it was Barenboim offering me a session with the concertmeister just for me, for Frika, you know.
Wow.
It was... incredible, you know, or Muti offering me my very first Verdi Requiem to be with him. It was like, what, one feels very encouraged by that.
Of course.
No? And it was pretty amazing. And everything that they say during the rehearsal, even if it's just a story of some other opera they did or something, everything is so valuable, so precious. So I treasure all of them.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. You hear great stories. Huh?
Yeah, yes.
Let's go back to where we are now, Bayreuth. Only a few months ago, you were asked to take over some performances of Kundry in this year's new production of Parsifal, a role which you debuted only some months ago in Vienna. How is your journey so far with this headstrong character and woman? Do you enjoy her?
Yes, I enjoy immensely. And also I realized, I mean, I kind of knew it from the beginning, but now I realize it completely, 100%, that this is going to be a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
She's like mother of pearl. You change a little angle and the whole picture changes. And it's every time like this. Every rehearsal is different. It feels different. It comes out different. It's unbelievable. Sometimes I just find myself just thinking of a certain scene inside, and already it transforms. So if one does not know, there's nothing set for her.
Yeah, this character is something.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. She's not even one character.
Yeah.
There are at least three of her in this opera. Yeah. You know, and it's. It's unbelievable. She's the ugliest. She's the most beautiful. She's the youngest. She's the oldest. She's the kindest. She's the most brutal. She's a liar. She's the most sincere. It's unbelievable. It's the best role ever that exists, I think, for an opera singer. I don't think there's anything better.
Yeah, Dunja Vesevich said she has all facets of a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. Everything. Unbelievable. This is, I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky.
How do you prepare a role like hers when you have not a real way in front of you? You just have to build it up. Do you read a lot? Do you listen to all the other Kundrys which recorded it? What is your plan?
I don't listen a lot, usually, because I'm such a monkey. I tend to repeat, and there's no same instrument, so it's difficult. It's not good for me to listen a lot. But and also, to be honest, I'm not the biggest reader. of all time, but I have such good friends who know so much. So I just grabbed a good friend and I sat him down and I said, you tell me everything now. So we spent hours and hours and hours with the score, with the libretto, and he told me everything that he knew around it, about it, in it, language-wise, everything. So that was amazing.
Like a master class.
Yeah, he saved me, I don't know how many hours of reading.
Of course,
Days and days on end. So that, but my main preparation is with the score. I put the score at the piano, I sit down and I play through with pronouncing, trying to sing like from zero, you know, when I was just reading. And it would take me about an hour per page, if it's not a lot on the page, but sometimes even more, to just go through it. And it's just, yeah, because I don't let myself pass the bar without doing everything I could in it, you know, vocally, technically, color-wise, language-wise, so phrasing-wise, it's insane. So it was like, I sat down, I think, okay, now I do an hour. And I finish when I'm totally exhausted, when my eyes are not working anymore, and it's been 3 or 4. It's been eating my time, like it was insane. I didn't feel hungry. I didn't want to go to the toilet. It was just that magical. You Amazing. Know from the beginning that it's going to be special. You know,
yeah.
It's like,
Is this the secret of a Wagner figure? Like what you cannot compare to other composers, because it's that magic which gets you?
Well, it certainly gets me.
Yeah.
It gets me. It gets me. It gives me goosebumps. It gives me shivers. I forget everything around me. It's unbelievable. Same thing Ortrud did to me when I started to study her. Also, now I've been a little bit through Sieglinde. Because there was an offer that I decided not to take because I was wise. It was not in a good place in the calendar. Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to hurry, but still I wanted to sing through Act One, and it gave me again these vibes that I think it's going to be a great role for me too.
So it's something which will probably happen.
Yes. Sieglinde will happen for sure. Yeah, cool. It's one of those. Yeah, it's mine, I feel. It's mine. Give it to me. Yeah.
And you're still so young, so everything can happen. That's a great
young
thing.
Young is relative. Yeah, I think I'm young in the sense that I'm still healthy and my voice is still in a good shape. But there's no sign of aging of that sort. And also spiritually, I'm quite, you know, still quite jumpy.
Obviously.
So I feel young.
You prove it here every year. So, Kundry is the newest addition to your repertoire. What else? I mean, Sieglinde. What else can we expect from you in the future, Katja?
What is there coming?
Which can you already, I mean, without saying the date and the place, but which roles will come in the next years?
God.
Is there something you can tell us?
Do I have anything new coming? I don't even remember. I recently did Dialogue de Carmelite. That was very interesting for me to do.
Mère Marie?
Yes, I have Herodias coming up in Paris.
Herodias?
In Salome.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Already?
Yeah.
Aren't you too young for Herodias?
Oh, who cares? Who cares? I'll do it with my voice.
Of course.
That production is insane.
Yeah.
They even had to, it's an existing production. Uh-huh, they had to send me a video to confirm that indeed I would like to do that. Because it's insane, but the insaner it is, the easier it is to do. So I'm not gonna be responsible for that woman either, you know.
Great. Okay, so we're looking forward to this Herodias.
I don't remember what I have coming up. I'm trying not to look too far into my calendar because there are things up to 2030.
Really?
Yes, and it's just cruel to mind to look so far.
But happy for you. I mean, it's a good sign.
Yeah, for a freelancer, it's better to know a little bit in advance. Otherwise, you feel unsafe.
Of course.
But we know now that when pandemic hits, nothing matters and you stay at home and bake your cookies.
And you can put the calendar in the trash.
Exactly.
We all had that.
Yep.
Do you have this one favorite role? Or you cannot name it?
Well, now it must be Kundera. Yeah. I used to say always that one cannot have a favorite role, that the favorite role is the one that you are singing now, and it used to be true. But yes, it's Kundry. Oh my God. Yeah.
Sounds convincing.
Yes, yeah. It is. I had already in Vienna after the last performance, since I had no Kundry in my calendar yet, I had this withdrawal. I thought, oh my God, when is my next one? I'm not going to survive. You know, this is...
But after Bayreuth, I hope there will
Yeah, come. There is. There are already. Yeah, cool, there is cool, already.
Cool. And I say... Thank you so much for this Thank funny, you, clever it fun. Interview. Yeah. It was so interesting to dig into your career and to get some first sights from
cool.
you.
Yeah.
Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
All the best for the future and for the Kundry in Bayreuth.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Bernhard.